This podcast is brought to you by our Let's Go Brandon t-shirt. Order it at HowieCarShow.com/Thor. Enjoy the podcast.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
I might point out, you're, when I went to Dearborn driving that, was up there. I don't know, man.
Well, just go, what the hell are you talking about? Yeah?
I thought maybe there's a moral.
No, there ain't no moral. I just like that story.
He's got cognitive issues. He's not fit to be our head of state or our commander-in-chief.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
The single most respected voice in the pandemic, it's Dr. Anthony Fauci.
The man who's become known as America's doctor.
The nation's top infectious disease expert, Anthony Fauci.
You are seen to many as a superhero.
Dr. Anthony Fauci, American hero and New York Yankee fan.
Who among you is brave enough to tame this slobbering horde?
Do you miss me yet?
You're fired. Go.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
844-500-4242. A couple of updates in the news before we go get to the transplants and the state of the state message from Governor Charlie Baker, also known as Charlie Parker. Remember Ferguson, Missouri? That's where the gentle giant Michael Brown was shot. The hands up, don't shoot mythology, and that was the sort of the dress rehearsal for the George Floyd looting and riots. And they said the guy was shot down in cold blood by the cops. Total lies. Total lies. Well, Ferguson, Missouri, back in the news this afternoon. Two police officers were rushed to a local hospital this afternoon after being shot in Ferguson. St. Louis Metropolitan Police Chief John Hayden Jr. said one officer was hit in the abdomen and is in very critical condition. The other officer was hit in the leg. They were attempting to apprehend a suspect wanted in connection for an overnight homicide when they were shot. They were approaching the vehicle when shots were fired at the officers. So that's the latest in Ferguson, Missouri. And then on the COVID front, the White House said Wednesday that the COVID-19 vaccine regime for kids younger than four, will likely be three doses for kids under four, even though your chances of dying if you're under the age of four from COVID are non-existent. You have a better chance of falling into a drowning in a bathtub, I dare say. Let's see. Then it looks like a three-dose regimen, said the I Am the Science Fauci. I don't think we can predict when we will see it approved. All right. 844-500-4242. Limerick guy says your last caller was dead on, no pun intended, meaning he pulled himself off the donor list. The only thing that will make these whack jobs pause is drastic action, period. I don't know. I understand the instinct, but I think you're going to be punishing the wrong people here if you take your name off the donor list. Someone could die because you want to protest an insane hospital policy. You're shooting innocent bystanders. They would be collateral damage if they couldn't get a liver, a kidney, a heart, whatever. Anyway, just to refresh your memory, we were talking about this last night, and it's becoming a national story, an international story, actually. It's on the Daily Mail in the UK. There's a guy, David DJ Ferguson. He's 31 years old, lives in Northbridge, Massachusetts, and he's been in the hospital for 2 months. He's got a heart condition. I guess it's a genetic heart condition. And he needs a heart transplant. He was at the top of the list. But because he has not received the COVID-19 vaccination, he is no longer eligible, according to hospital policy. The story was broken by Channel 4. And again, I haven't seen anything in any of the Boston newspapers about this, which pretty sad. Ferguson says, David Ferguson, he's the father who's dying of cancer himself, apparently, or is very ill. He says his son refuses to get the shot. We've got a couple of sound cuts from David Ferguson, the father of this guy who's in the hospital. Apparently, he's had some kind of procedure today, and the family is saying that the hospital is saying that the procedure is going to extend his life from 2 months to 5 years. But I mean, obviously, he would need a heart transplant. He'd have better odds for living longer if he had a heart transplant, but this is the best he can hope for right now. So this is his father, David Ferguson, talking to Channel 4, Cut 30.
My son has gone to the edge of death to stick to his guns. His heart has now deteriorated so much to the point where it won't work on its own.
And this is, why is he refusing to get the vaccine? Mr. Ferguson, Cut 31.
It's kind of against his basic principles. He doesn't really believe in it.
Brigham and Women's released a statement. That's the hospital he's at. Like many other transplant programs in the United States, the COVID-19 vaccine is one of several vaccine and lifestyle behaviors. Again, that's the key. That's what we'll talk about, lifestyle behaviors required for transplant candidates in the Mass General Brigham system in order to create both the best chance for a successful operation and also the patient's survival after transplantation. But again, you know, when they have all the ambulances equipped with Narcan to revive people who overdose on heroin or synthetic opioids, they don't ask them about their lifestyles. If your liver's failing, most people's liver fails because of alcohol abuse. They don't ask you about that. I mean, diabetes is brought on in many, if not most cases, by obesity and poor choice of diet. But that doesn't mean you can't get an insulin shot, does it? Tell me if I'm wrong. So now, though, refusing to get a vaccination, and again, there's increasing body of evidence that as effective as the vaccines are in most or maybe even the overwhelming majority of the cases, it can have dangerous side effects. And there have been more dangerous side effects from this on a per capita basis than from most earlier vaccination regimes, whatever you call it. 844-500-4242. This is a tough one. I don't know. I think obviously this guy, DJ Ferguson, should get the transplant, but I mean, do you really pull yourself off the donor list to protest this? I wouldn't. I'm not on a donor list. But, you know, if I were, I don't think I'd pull my name off the list. 844-500-4242. Sean, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Sean.
Hey, how you doing, Howie?
Good.
I wanted to call and talk to you about this transplant. I'm actually a transplant recipient myself on the heart, about 3.5 years ago. And there's all kinds of different stuff that you have to do to get actually on that list. It's not like you need a heart and all of a sudden they say, okay, you're on the list. You actually have to get interviewed and you have to make sure that you're doing everything they want you to do to get on it.
Right. But what I'm saying is, there's a chance that this guy, again, there's a study that just came out. I'll read some of it to you from the JAMA, Journal of the American Medical Association, showing that the younger men, especially, and he's 31, younger men have a danger of developing heart problems from this vaccine.
Yeah, but, you know, I had to quit smoking in order to get on this list to receive mine. If I was drinking, they wouldn't put me on it. If I was overweight, they wouldn't put me on it. There's so many different
reasons. But I mean, there's no downside to quitting smoking, is there? When you get right down to it. There's no downside to quitting drinking, is there? I mean, you may not have as much fun, but you know,
there's no downside to anything.
But there is a down. But there could be a downside to a guy with a bad heart who's a younger guy getting this vaccine.
But actually, the procedure that he had today extends his life 5 years. So probably what they did was put an LVAD in him, which gives him five more years, which they did to me.
2 months to 5 years, they said. 2 months to five years. Yeah.
Right, but usually it's a five-year deal before that LVAD goes bad.
So you think the hospital made the right decision?
It's not a hospital decision to make. It's a national decision. That donor thing is nationwide, and they're following the protocols that they have to do per nation.
They didn't mention any national protocol. They just said required for transplant candidates in the Mass General Brigham system. So they're not talking about CDC or HHS or something like that. They're talking about their own hospital system.
There's like a national database that they cultivate organs from. You know, it gets updated every so often, and they say, "Oh, we get a fresh one from Chicago. We got to fly it into Boston because we have a patient that could use it right away." That sort of thing. There's communication. That's the way I understand it.
Sean, what about the Hippocratic Oath? First, do no harm. I mean, if you don't give this guy a heart transplant, he could die. I mean, isn't that doing harm to him?
He also has to make sure that he's healthy enough to receive that.
Well, that's his objection to the vaccine. He thinks that the vaccine could kill him before he even gets the heart transplant. All right. Thanks for the call, Sean. This is a thorny subject, obviously. It's a tough issue. All right. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
You might want to keep a close eye on your fried clams. Howie Carr returns after this.
Yum, yum, yum.
Mother of mercy. Is this the end of Rico?
Howie Carr is back.
This new year, let HelloFresh deliver fresh, pre-portioned ingredients and recipes to your door. Get 16 free meals plus 3 gifts with code Howie16 at HelloFresh.com/Howie16. Taylor, what's the poll question, and what are the results thus far?
Should unvaccinated DJ Ferguson be able to get a heart transplant?
Yes.
Gone down again, 94% say yes.
Okay, all right. You know, I think it's mainly the Democrats that want to deny him this. That, you know, and again, remember that there's a federal law on the books that if you're an illegal alien in the country and you have you're indigent, you're carrying multiple diseases, You a hospital cannot turn you away if you're an illegal alien. So if DJ Ferguson were to renounce his U.S. citizenship and somehow, you know, as ill as he is, make his way across the Rio Grande, he could get a cab from Homeland Security and get a debit card and then just fly up to Boston and be admitted to the hospital. And I guess they would have to give him the heart transplant, right? Because he's an illegal alien, but because he's an American citizen who had a job till he got sick and was a taxpayer and has some American background, and his kids are American citizens. He can't get any help, I guess. 844-500-4242. I got this thing. Vaccine risk. What vaccine risk? We'll get to this in just a minute. John, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, John.
Yes. Hi, Howie.
Hi.
Yeah, you might not be able to find it in writing. Certainly, this hospital would, if pressed, fall back and say they're following CDC guidelines because they want everybody to be vaxxed. You know, this goes back to all of us right-wing kooks back in the days of Hillary Care, Obamacare, single payer, that when you get government influence over health care, you get death panels. And that's what this
right.
is. And this is like,
right.
this is like Florida.
Exactly. No, you're absolutely right. I mean, remember when Sarah Palin used that term, and she was excoriated by the deep state, wasn't she?
Right. And what about Florida, where all of a sudden now they can't give out the life-saving monoclonal antibodies because, you know, you got to do what they want you to do, and they want you to take the jab, and you're not going to get health care. And what comes after this? Well, you're a climate denier, so we're not going to move you to the front of the line if you need help. You know, and on right. and on it goes. This is just awful.
No, I know. This is what everybody, this is the worst nightmare. And again, you know, they denied that they were going to have death panels, that that's where it was heading. But then on the other hand, you know, what was that guy's name? Zeke Emanuel. He was the advisor on Obamacare. He was talking about how, you know, do you really need to live after you're 75? I mean, I think that's basically what he said. And Obama, his boss, said, you know, after a certain point, you don't give somebody a hip replacement. You just give them some pills, meaning painkillers, I guess, and send them home. And now we have this situation. I mean, it was inevitable. I remember when my uncle was 50 years ago. He had a baseball injury and he'd lost it. You know, he's just his brain was. It was like he was a prize fighter, only he hadn't been a prize fighter. He just got hit in the head with a baseball, and he was just lost it. And my family couldn't get him into a hospital, a VA hospital, because he was a veteran, and. And they had to go to a congressman. And the congressman took care of him because he was connected to the family. And this is in southern Maine. And, you know, I thought at the time, I'm glad my Uncle Ray got into the hospital, but you shouldn't have to go to a congressman to get into a hospital. And that's the road we're heading down. Did you donate to the right people? Did you put up the yard sign? Do you have the proper beliefs? Let's look at your social media. I mean, again, I don't want to overstate the case, but you know, when people can be denied health care because of their beliefs. Zebra, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Zebra.
Hey, thanks for the call, Dr. Carr. Let me lay this out to you, see if you think this is a little bit of directed pain. I know as a donor, which I am, I agree with you on, you know, let's not hurt the same people on a team. You can direct the living donations, no matter what, liver, kidneys, bone marrow, to the hospital or any individual. And if you are a donor after death, and most of these people end up, you know, on life support, and that's when they take them.
Right.
Keep them alive. So they look at the will. And if the will says you want to only donate to this hospital, if it doesn't disqualify donors because of the COVID vaccines, you're allowed to do that. So you could push all these donations into non-woke hospitals, and that would really wake them up because they wouldn't be doing. Just the patient wouldn't even be there.
Centers for Medicaid and Medicare and all the federal bureaucracies that dole out the money, don't you think they would act swiftly, given federal bureaucratic standards of swiftness, for against those hospitals that were going against the deep state orthodoxy?
It would have been, at least you're probably right, but this is going to be a one step out. You know, even if you can't win the battle, go down swinging, and at least this wouldn't be a condition where you say this or that.
All right, we're in the opening rounds of this battle. Day 681 of 15 days to flatten the curve. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
You know, we played those Tiffany Chu, the new chief of staff for Mayor Michelle Wu in Boston. We played those sound cuts, and she says snow clearing is sexist. I asked Taylor during the break, how does she stand on protecting your parking spaces after snowstorms with barrels or pieces of broken furniture? Remember a few years ago they wanted to cut down, just round up all the crap that people put in their parking spaces to protect them. And Jimmy Kelly, the late city councilor from South Boston, he was threatening to basically secede from the city of Boston if they started rounding up that stuff. I mean, that's how valuable parking spaces are. But I guess parking, you know, Taylor, if they stop plowing the streets, it really doesn't matter whether you have a parking space or not, because you can't get your car out of the parking space.
Yeah, it's going to be days before you even see your
moot.
Car. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. This is very interesting what's going to be happening here in the future. 844-500-4242. Maybe, by the way, the snowpocalypse, the cyclone bomb is being downgraded already. It may just be a cyclone firecracker.
Snowmageddon or bomb cyclones or tornadoes or
giant puddles. But I tell you, I just spoke to Biff Buffington, and he begs to disagree. He says he's seen polar bears are already fleeing the path of the bomb cyclone. They are. Guy texted me from New York City. The New York City TV weather guy, stay tuned, you never know. Meaning cyclone bomb, maybe not bomb city, maybe won't be bombing city. I don't know. Okay, anyway, this is from the Journal of the American Medical Association today. They've looked closely at the data on vaccines and incidence of myocarditis, with findings of special significance for young males. This study boasts, I'm reading now from the Powerline blog, this study boasts 26 authors, including figures from the CDC and top medical schools. It hardly comes more mainstream than this study. Okay? Key points. Question: what is the risk of myocarditis after mRNA-based COVID-19 vaccinations in the U.S.? The crude reporting rates within 7 days after vaccination exceeded the expected rates across multiple age and sex strata, but particularly among younger males. The rates of myocarditis cases were highest after the second vaccination dose in adolescent males aged 12 to 15 years, in adolescent males aged 16 to 17 years, and in young men aged 18 to 24 years. Meaning, the risk of myocarditis after receiving mRNA-based COVID-19 vaccines was increased across multiple age and sex strata and was highest after the second vaccination dose in adolescent males and young men. Vaccination against COVID-19 provides clear public health benefits. Again, this is the Journal of the American Medical Association. But vaccination also carries potential risks. The risks and outcomes of myocarditis after COVID-19 vaccination are unclear. And as Paroline Blog says, don't expect the media to ask Fauci or Jen Psaki about this finding. But by all means, let's keep coercing people into a vaccine they don't want. And Glenn Reynolds, the columnist for the New York Post, and he's a law professor at UT, says this is particularly significant since adolescent males and young men are at low risk of death or serious illness from COVID. 844-500-4242. Back to talking about DJ Ferguson, the 31-year-old man from Northbridge, Massachusetts. He's in the hospital. They had him at the top of the list to get a heart transplant. They took him off because he refused to get a vaccination. Now they've given him some kind of procedure that they say is going to extend his life 2 months to 5 years, but he's not going to get the transplant because he refuses to get the vaccination. Fred, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Fred.
Hey, Howie, good to talk to you. I've been a designated organ donor for years. And I couldn't agree with the previous caller more about the need for some of us to pull our names off that list. If you get 15 or 20 million of us pulling our names off that list, believe me, the people who are expecting or looking to get an organ are going to start screaming like mashed cats. And when they start screaming, that's when people are going to start listening. I just think it's vitally important. We can always bail back on that list. But I think it's vitally important we get off.
So are you getting off?
I'm going to get off. I'm going to call the Bureau of Motor Vehicles. I'm getting off. Now, as soon as I see a direct policy change, I'm going to bail right back on. But if they don't change the policy, unfortunately, some people are going to lose their lives because of the ignorance of the politicians and these policies that they put in place that's denying Mr. Ferguson his right to a transplant.
I know. So he's going to die, but then on the other hand, you're going to deny somebody else the right to live. So how are you different than the ignorant bureaucrats? I mean, again, I'm the devil's advocate here because I see both sides of this argument.
Absolutely. But I don't want to deny anybody anything. If I croak, man, I want them to take every part they can take and help somebody else.
I agree. I feel the same way, although I'm not on a list. You know, go ahead. Yep.
But, if I bail off a list and another 15 million of us bail off that list and all these people that need organs start screaming, they will change the policy and people like Mr. Ferguson will be put back on and get the help that he needs.
Thanks for the call, Fred. Well put. I don't think there are 15 million people. I wonder how many people there are on these donor lists. I don't know. 844-500-4242. Gary, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Gary.
Hi, Howie. How are you?
Good.
I just want to put my two cents in. I actually disagree with your former caller. I received a heart transplant at Brigham and Women's Hospital 5 months ago.
Yeah.
And what you have to go through to receive a transplant is not up to the Brigham. UNOS, the United Network for Organ Sharing, has standards. And this vaccine is one of many, it's one of many that you have to take in order to receive a transplant. You have to be compliant. There are only 2,000 heart transplants a year done in this country. And that's one thing that people don't realize, with 3,000 on the waiting list, and probably 20% of those people will die waiting. Pulling your name off a list because you think that the government is involved, it's not. It's all about outcomes. You know, they're going to give a heart to the person who's going to be compliant, who's going to take care of a gift. I don't know my donor. I just know that he was a young male here in Boston, healthy, and it wasn't a high-risk heart. And you've been talking about drug addicts. Yes, there are a lot of drug addicts, a lot of overdoses that qualify for heart transplant, and they may have hepatitis C, and I signed up for one of those. But they're curable. So that's the least of my concerns. What I'm concerned about is people like the last caller. They think that, the people who are waiting are going to stand up and start screaming. You know, you've got Fenway Park has, 37,000 people in it?
Yeah, about
that. And you
that.
Only have 2,000.
Less.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And only 2,000 people a year are going to receive a transplant. I went at the top of the list at the Brigham. I had already had COVID. I had already had my vaccinations. I didn't have to worry about that. I had to take various other vaccinations for things I never knew existed. But that was right. A requirement.
But I mean, a lot of those vaccinations that you had to take, Gary, were for medicine or serums that had been tested over decades, right? I mean, they weren't rushed into the market, and I dare say they had less lethal results in large numbers of the population that was taking them than these vaccines are having. You just heard me read from that study that the rate of adverse outcomes from the vaccine was higher than anticipated.
You know, it's a risk like anything else. You're taking a risk when you cross the street. You're taking a risk when you get into a car and drive. And the risk, I would think would be a little bit higher driving down the road than they are of receiving myocarditis from the vaccine. And that's one of the things that, people don't look at. They just look at one study. Yes, there are side effects. There are side effects with many other vaccines. But, this is part of the requirement. If you want to live, that it comes down to life or death at this point. Mr. Ferguson, has stuck by his guns. I'm not for mandates. I'm not for mask mandates. I'm not for vaccine mandates. It's up to the individual. I'm a conservative. I listen to you all the time. What I'm concerned with are people like the last caller. It's almost misinformation. They're saying, well, once these people stand up and start screaming, you know, it comes down to the simple fact that he's denying somebody, you know, if he were to become an organ donor, he's denying somebody the opportunity to live or live a better life.
Why is there this glee? Why do you think there's this glee from, maybe it's just a small percentage of people and we're seeing them on social media, that these nurses they almost seem that they want Mr. Ferguson to die. What's that all about?
I can't answer that. You know, that would really bother me if I knew about one of those nurses. I mean, nobody wants to see him die. Nobody. You know, I'm hoping, you know, I'm not sure which procedure he had, whether he had, you know, an Impella pump, whether he had an LVAD put in. I'm not sure. But that was done today. You know, I know all the docs there. I know he's in excellent health, excellent care. You know, they're not political. They're not, you know, some government conspiracy. It's not there. The idea that some nurse would be happy that he would die, for what reason? I have no idea. You know, is it come down to some type of political statement? I have no idea. Politics should not be involved in this, and they are not involved in it. You know,
yeah, but I mean, aren't they? I mean, you know, you say that, but it's leaked into this, hasn't it? I mean, look, 59% of Democrats favor government confining unvaccinated Americans to their homes. 59% of Democrats. That was a poll last week from Rasmussen.
It's insanity. I mean, where this freaking president is leading us, I have no freaking clue, but it's not in the right direction. But things like that, you know, go hand in hand with this, you know, anti-vax thing. I mean, you know, if somebody wants to be anti-vax, let them. They don't want the vaccine, good. Don't take the vaccine. You know, if they get sick, they get sick. You know, I caught COVID. I didn't think I was going to survive. Remdesivir saved my life. That was a year ago this past December. I ended up being
which is not that easy to get either, is it?
No. But I was already considered immunocompromised because I had such a bad heart. I was living a very normal life despite having a very bad heart. I went in on June 18th of this past summer for an ablation. I didn't come out of there for 69 days, and I came out with a new heart. It got that bad that fast.
All right, I got to hold it there, Gary, but I appreciate the call, and you're a very thoughtful caller, and thanks for listening. I'm glad you got your transplant, and I'm glad you're doing well. Thanks for calling. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
The Howie Carr Show.
Excitable? You bet I'm excitable. We're trying to put a guilty man in the chair where he belongs. Someone stops telling us fairy tales and we're listening.
Howie Carr is back.
844-500-4242. Is it a medical decision, though, or is it a political decision? You know, that's what people are saying on the text line. You know, is it about compliance or is it about public health? And, you know, what one man's medicine is another man's politics. I guess that's the debating point here. That's why everybody wants to talk about this, why it's such a thorny issue here. 844-500-4242. I want to just play a couple of these Charlie Parker sound cuts. Hang on the line, everybody who's there, because we're going to get right back to it. This is Charlie Baker last night at the, he's rewriting history before he even leaves office about how great things were until the virus arrived. Cut 16.
And as we rolled into calendar year 2020, we had the highest number of people working in state history, wage gains at every level of the economy, and hundreds of thousands of new jobs, and it felt like the world belonged to us. And then came COVID.
sometimes, dear Brutus, the fault is not in the stars, but in ourselves that we are underlings. And that 6 months later, we had the highest unemployment rate in the country and the third highest death rate in the country. It's all on you, Charlie Parker. Cut 17.
We all know the past 22 months have been tough. We've all suffered some degree of loss, disruption, confusion, anger, and isolation.
You lost your political career, but that's a lot less than at least 1 million, 2 million people in the Commonwealth lost. They lost their jobs. They lost their loved ones. They didn't get to see their loved ones in their final days. They lost their businesses. Their kids couldn't go to school. Cut 22.
Now, as we come out of this pandemic, we know we have a mental health crisis. Like many things, it was there before COVID arrived. But the anxiety, disruption, and isolation that came with COVID has made it worse and more visible.
You made it worse, too, by your grotesque overreaction and your mismanagement. Cut 25.
Transporting medical gear, testing residents and staff at long-term care and other congregate care facilities, vaccinating people at locations big and small, including right here at the Heinz Veterans Memorial Convention Center where I got vaccinated, driving school buses so kids could return to in-person learning, filling in for absent workers across almost every kind
What's
of
so
healthcare
funny?
Institution, helping us right the ship at the Holyoke Soldiers Home, and protecting
right
our
the
nation's
ship.
Capital. In the
Who steered it into the iceberg? 6th. One of your hacks. One of your hacks. Cut 26. This is the last cut. Sorry we didn't get to those last calls.
Or bomb cyclones or tornadoes. Now, others can debate whether we succeeded or not. I believe we have. And I believe it shows in the work we've done during good times and difficult ones.
If you succeeded, how come you're not running for re-election? See you tomorrow. I'm Howie Carr.